Chesamir, excuse me, Chesamir Aleph. Nineteen lines from the top. It says Bishlom Rab Meir. Okay, the Gemara is discussing. There was an argument when Rosh Hashanah is. Okay, there was an argument when the new year for Maaser Behema. There's an argument in the Gemara when, in the Mishnah, when is the new year for animals? Because you have to tithe 1 year as animals on that year. You can't do a year earlier or a year later. You have to do that animals that are born that year. So it says, what was the time when it's the new year for animals? So one opinion says, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say, Echad B'Tishrei. And Rabbi Meir holds, it was the first of Elul. Okay, and the Gemara said, the Gemara learned it out from a whole pasuk that says, Lashu Chorim Atzein, that it says, the sheep of the flock become pregnant, and Vamokim Yatfavar, the valleys cloak themselves with food, and they shout joyfully and they even sing. So the question is, when do animals become pregnant? Because animals are pregnant for 7 months, these animals that we're talking about. So based on the time they become pregnant, that's when they give birth. And if they give birth in Av, so then the new year for animals is an Elul, because by then all the animals are born, so it's a new year starting from Elul. And the other opinion says, no, they finish getting born in Elul, and therefore the new year for the animals is in Tishrei. That's what the Gemara was discussing. So the Gemara is asking here a question as follows. Bishleim l'Rab Meir, according to Rab Meir, it's understood the order of the pasuk, because the pasuk says, Lashu Chorim Atzein, the sheep will become clad, meaning they become pregnant. Then when, Bizman Shamakim Yatfavar, at the time when there's the food, and then the Ikanami Yisrav Yeshiro, then there are the animals that are also born later. Meaning as follows. The pasuk says, there are animals that are born on time, there are animals that are born later. So one opinion says, like Reb Meir says, first animals are born on time, and therefore they get pregnant on time, therefore they give birth in Av, and the late animals give birth in Elul. So the order of the pasuk according to Reb Meir is going to make sense. Yeah? But Elul Reb Shimon Reb Elazar, but according to Reb Shimon and Reb Elazar, the pasuk should have said the opposite. Lo shulchanim atzein, that the sheep become pregnant, bizman she Yisrael af yeshidu, in the time when they sing, which is the earlier months, v'ikanami amokim yatfavon, they become pregnant earlier also. Meaning as follows, I'm going to explain the question, very simple, outside, it sounds more complicated than the Gemara. Normally when you talk, you say, they become pregnant earlier, and there are animals that become born later. That would be the order of the pasuk according to Rav Meir. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, the order is the opposite. First, it speaks about the late born animals, and then the on time born animals. Mm-hmm. So Gemara says the pasuk doesn't make sense. You don't talk like that. First, you talk the normal time of birth. Then you go even to the later time of birth. According to the way they learned the pasuk is first speaking about the exception, and then it goes to the normal. So the Gemara says it doesn't make sense. Therefore, the Gemara learns, and okay, this is where we're up to now. Ela Merav Rava learns as follows. Kulam, everybody says, Lo Shulchanim Atzein, the sheep become pregnant when Bizman Shamakim Yat Fuvod, when they give food, when the food ripens, which is the month of Adar. And based on that, if you count Adar, they should be giving birth in Av, because Adar Nisan Iyar Sivan Tammuz Av. Right? Now, but what's the argument of Ahochabai Krakam Efligit? They argue about the interpretation of a different pasuk. What's the pasuk? It says in the pasuk Aser to Aser. When the Torah speaks about tithing, it says you have to tithe your grain. Now the Torah says Aser to Aser. We read this on many of the Yomim Tevim. Aser to Aser, you should tithe, you should tithe. What's the double expression? So the Gemara says in one place, Aser give 10%, b'shlusha t'sashin, you should get rich. Aser t'aser, if you give 10% for tzedakah, then you're going to get rich. That's the Gemara talks about tzedakah. But here the Gemara is learning a different way of the pasuk. Aser t'aser means we're talking about two meisers. We're talking about the meiser of grain, that the pasuk is clearly talking about, and we're also talking about aser t'aser, the meiser for animals. What does this mean? B'shnei meiser sakosev medaber. The pasuk is because of the double expression, aser t'aser. The Torah is speaking about two types of tithing. One is meiser behema, one is giving 10% of your animals, ve'echad meiser dogon, and one is a tithing of grain. Now, Rameir holds the following. Makish meiser behema le meiser dogon. Rameir says, we liken, therefore, the tithing animals to the tithing of the grain. Now, ma meiser dogon, samach l'gemari yisudei, josik meiser. When do you give meiser? As soon as it's completed, when it's finished. It's the same thing. Af meiser behema, samach l'gemari. So therefore, when do you do meiser behema? Also when it's finished. So if they give birth in Av, so when do you have to give meiser? Right away, in the next month, which is Elul. Because if the grain is finished in Elul grain, and you give meiser in Tishrei, so the same thing with the animals. If they're finished being born in Av, right away, Elul, you have to give meiser of behemoths. That's the way that Meir learns. And the other opinion, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, Savir, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon hold, Makish meiser behemel and meiser dogon. We liken also animals to grain, but Ma meiser dogon Rosh Hashanah Shalei is Tishrei, just a grain. When's the Rosh Hashanah of grain? Tishrei. So the same thing, meiser behemel should also be on Tishrei. That means as follows. The Torah says, Aser to Aser, which means, as the Gemara learns, there's two tithings. There's a tithing of animals, and there's a tithing of grain. The fact that the Torah puts both together means we liken one to the next. So the Meir likens it as follows. Just a grain, as soon as it's finished, you have an obligation of tithing, of giving maaser. So when the animals are born, right away you have an obligation of maaser. Now animals are born in Av. If they're born in Av, you can't do it in Av because they're not finished being born yet. So when do you have to give Maiser Be'ema? Right away in the month of Elul. That's the way the Meir holds. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no. We liken Maiser animals to Maiser of grain. And therefore, just like Maiser of grain, it's a given. It's Rosh Hashanah, which is Tishrei. So when should be Maiser Be'ema? Also Tishrei. And as everybody says, we liken one to the next. The question, how do we liken it? Rameh says, we liken it just like this one, it's done. You do it. The same thing, animals are done in Av, so you do it in Elul. The Shimon and the Belazer hold, no. That you liken it, that it's the same Rosh Hashanah. Just like grain, Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah. The same thing, Maiser for Behema is also Rosh Hashanah. Tishrei. That's the argument of the Gemara. Okay, now the Gemara starts a completely new Gemara. It said in the Mishnah that Be'echad is a Gemara. Be'echad b'Tishrei Rosh Hashanah l'shanim. It says in the Mishnah that the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for the new year, for years. So the Gemara says in my Hilchasa, reference to what? You know, what do you mean for years? What does it mean? So Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa said, Lishtaris. It has to do with documents. That means, when's the new year for documents? Rosh Hashanah, Tishrei. What relevance is, when do you have to know when the new year for documents are? The Tanam, because we learned in the Mishnah, Shtarichei v'magdamim, predated documents are possible. The Mukharim, post-dated documents are kosher. Now, it's important to know, the Gemara says, when a new year begins. Now, obviously we learned in the Mishnah that Rosh Hashanah for kings is Nisan. If you remember, we learned, because that's used to document documents based on the king's year. And the Gemara is going to ask this question in a second. But meanwhile, the Gemara doesn't know that. The Gemara thinks Rosh Hashanah Tishrei is the new year for kings and for documents. Not for kings as much as for documents. What does it mean? According to Halacha, a predated document is not kosher. A post-dated document is kosher. What does this mean? If I lend you money, if I lend you money today, today is Sunday, no, Sunday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, okay? Let's use the English dates meanwhile, because it's my Goyish kings. May 5th, I lend you money. The halacha is, from now on, any assets you have are bound to me.
Huh? What does that mean?
In other words, if you owe me the money, any property you own, I can collect from. That is only, though, documents that you own from here onward. What happens if I lend you money on the 5th of May, on May 1st, you sold property to somebody else. You sold property. And on May 5th, I lend you money, so that property that you sold already is not collateral for me, it's not bound to me, because it's not yours anymore. Correct? Now, what happens, though, if I lend you money today, May 5th, but on the document, I predate it to April 20th. So the document says April 20th. You sold the fields May 1st. I lent you the money May 5th. So the truth of the matter is, any fields that you sold before May 5th are not collateral for me. Right? Because I lent you the money May 5th. You sold the fields on May 1st. Those fields you sold on May 1st, I have no lien on those fields. But if I predate a document and write on the document April 20th, Besdin's going to look at the document, see it says April 20th, and they're going to go to the fields that you sold on May 1st and use them as collateral for my loan. So it's not kosher. If it's post-dated, we don't care. Because the lender is only hurting himself. Because what happens if I lend you money on May 5th, but I post-date it to May 20th? I post-date the document to May 20th. So now the thing is, if you sold the field on the 10th, technically that field would be collateral for me. I have a lien on the field first. But the fact that the document says May 20th, Besdin's not going to do anything with it. The buyer of the field will not lose anything by it. So therefore, the Gemara says, post-dated documents are kosher, pre-dated documents are not kosher. That's why you have to be careful, like when you write a ksuba.
What's a ksuba?
For marriage, you have to make sure it's the right date. If you pre-date it, then it's not kosher. The ksuba is in order for the woman to collect the money, and she can even go to the buyers. Because once I lend you money, everything you own, I have a lien on. And if you sell a field... If I sell a field to you, and there's a lien on the field... So then the lender could go to the buyer and take away the field. Because there's already a lien on the field as soon as I lend you money. But the lien begins at the time of the loan. Not before the loan. So if I predate a document, I'm basically saying that the loan took place 10 days earlier. So the lien is starting 10 days earlier, and there can't be. Right, Shimshin, that's your field. You can't predate a document because buyers are going to lose out by it. Because there's a lien on the field, the lender can go to the buyer and take away the field, when really there's no lien on the field, because the loan actually took place on May 5th. And well, that's when the lien starts.
What if there's a building that he built on it?
In the meantime.
and takes away the building too.
But what happens if he pays the person back the money?
If he pays him back, then he doesn't get the new field. But what happens if he doesn't? If he doesn't have money to pay back, so then you go.
They give him the money that he got from the field.
It doesn't look like that. You don't even have the money. What?
What if it's Shemitah year?
Shemitah year, you have to deal with the loan that you have to make a prusbel. You're right. Shemitah, you have a problem, but you have to deal with a prusbel. But let's leave out Shemitah year for a minute. So therefore, the Gemara says, post-dated is good, predated is no good. Now, they needed, because a predated document, and again, they didn't go like we write today in a document in the year 5762. They used to go by the years of the king. Right? In the fourth year of the king's reign, in the fifth year of the king's reign. Now, if every king became king on a different day, you're not going to know which is earlier, which is later. So they made a uniform thing. And the first day of Tishrei begins automatically the new year of the king. For the document. So therefore, if somebody lends money, if a king became king in Elul, let's say, as soon as Tishrei comes, it starts the second year of his reign. The second year of his kingdom. Why to keep it uniform? So the Gemara asks the question, what difference does it make that Rosh Hashanah is the new year for years? The Gemara says it matters for documents. To know which year to write in the document. Why do we have to know which year it is? Because you have to know between predated and postdated. So the Gemara asks, but the Gemara says, in our Mishnah it says, Be'echa Benissin is Rosh Hashanah for kings. And we said, L'may Hilchasa, V'amen Avchista, and Avchista says it's already for Shtaris. So the Gemara asks the question, what do you mean Tishrei is the new year of the kings, when the Mishnah said, Nissan is the new year for kings? So why are you saying it's the new year for the kings and Tishrei? So the Gemara says, interestingly, Leikasha, Kam L'malchi Yehud, Yisro, Kam L'malchi U'masa'ilim. For Jewish kings, you start in Nissan. For Goyish kings, you start in Tishrei. Okay? So Gemara says, if you're writing in the document the year of the Jewish king, Nisan begins the new year. If you're writing the year of the Goyish king, then you go from Tishrei. Why? So the probable explanation is as follows. Jews go by the lunar calendar. The lunar calendar begins in Nisan, is the first month. The Goyim go by the solar calendar. By creation. The solar calendar starts in Tishrei. So therefore, the Gemara says, as far as Goyish kings, when's their new year? Tishrei. And Jewish kings, the new year is Nisan. So it matters basically very simple. The Gemara says, not a contradiction. There's two new years for documents. If you're writing the Jewish king's years, you start Nisan as a new year. If you start Goyish kings, then it starts in Tishrei. So the Gemara asks, El Adam and Avchistus, but Gemara says, if that's what the Mishnah means, there's a problem. Why? Because Avchistus said exactly this Mishnah. Avchistus said, Lo Yishanu El Malchi Yisrael. It only matters for the Jewish kings is Nissan. El Malchi Umasayla Metisha Menina, but for the Goyish kings it works in Tishrei. So the Gemara says, Avchistus Mas Nissan Asan Lashminan. Avchistus is coming to teach us a Mishnah. The Gemara is very simple. Avchistus said a statement. Nisan is for the Jewish kings. Tishrei is for the Goyish kings. So the Gemara says, if that's the way we're interpreting our Mishnah, I need Rav Chista to tell me a Mishnah. Obviously, if Rav Chista is telling me something, he's telling me something that's not a Mishnah. That means our Mishnah is not talking about Goyish kings Tishrei and Jewish kings Nisan, because if that's what the Mishnah is saying, why do I need Rav Chista to tell me the same thing? So obviously Rav Chista is teaching me something else. And the Mishnah is teaching me something else. So the question is, what does the Mishnah mean? So the Gemara says, like, Rav Chista kroy us lashmina. The Gemara answers, Rav Chista is not teaching us the Mishnah. Rav Chista is telling us the pasuk where you learn it out from. You're right, Rav Chista is really repeating the Mishnah. But what's Rav Chista doing? Rav Chista is explaining where we learn it out from. And then he's adding to the Mishnah. So the Gemara's answer now, the way the Gemara's answering now is, you're right. Rosh Hashanah Tishrei is a new year for Goyish kings. Nisan is a new year for Jewish kings. And then when you write a document, if you write the Goyish king's years, as soon as Tishrei comes, it starts a new year. If you write the Jewish kings, it starts in Nisan. Like I said, today it doesn't matter, because today we write based on creation, the Jewish date, Lebris Eilam Leminyan Shana Meinim Kan, and we write based on creation. So today in a Ksuba, in a Get, in any document that a person would write, the date, they would write the Jewish date starting from creation of the world. 5762. If somebody writes a secular document and you write the English date, it's also good. Obviously.
Why only a secular document? Why not?
Because in a Jewish document they like to write the Jewish years. In a Goyish document they'll write 2002, whatever. In a Jewish document you want to write the Jewish dates. In fact, there's an interesting question in Halacha: is a Jew allowed to write a Goyish date? Because if the Torah says a Chedesh is Halacha Meresh Chadashim, and the question is even more, like Moshe, today is the 5th of May, yeah? So many times they're going to check, you write 5502, yeah? There are opinions in Halacha that want to say you're not allowed to do that. Because what do you mean 5? Today is not the 5th month, today is Iyar. And therefore, the Torah says it's the 2nd month. Why are you writing the 5th month? And there are poskim in Halacha that write, you can't write 5502. Mm-hmm. There's a letter, there's a thing from the Rebbe that you could. Because the pasuk says in Tillim, Hashem yisper b'chsev amim. Hashem writes, even...
Goyish date is from Christians.
Right. It's another thing people say.
Yeah.
Because it's from Yashke.
Yashke.
But Lepel, it's accepted now that you do it. But it says Hashem yisper b'chsev amim.
But why would it tell us that what the Goyish date is?
Because in the olden times, out of respect, when the Jews were under the government of the Goyim, and they wanted to be on good terms with the kings, they shouldn't make decrees against the Jews, they would show respect to the king. And one of the ways they showed respect to the king is by using the years of that particular king, that he should see that the Jews consider him a king. Otherwise, he would make problems against the Jews, pogroms and killing Jews and things like that.
What were you saying?
That Hashem counts in the Goyish months too. So Quintal, the Rebbe writes, he could write 5502, mm-hmm. things like that. But there are people that don't.
I don't separate.
Don't you? Because see, it's if you write May 5th, they say it's better than writing 5-5. It's 5-5, you're saying this is the 5th month. And Torah says Nisan is the 1st month. So Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av is the 5th month. What are you writing? Iyar is the 5th month, so to speak. Not the 5th month. But if you write May, so then you're writing May. You're not writing 5.
It's even more complicated than that. The name of the month of Goyish months have different meanings. But January is a goddess of something.
Right. Or if Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is also like that. Also has to do with the... But Lepel, it became accepted already that that's not anything dealing with religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the difference between Kratzmach Xmas and New Year's. Even though really New Year's also has to do with religion, because the end of the Gregorian calendar was in February. March 1st was really the beginning of the new year. That's why when you have a leap year in English, it's always February 28th. 29th. February is the smaller, shortest month because that's when the year finishes. And therefore, when you want to add a day, you add it the last day of the year, which is February. After the Yoshka story, because his bris was a New Year's, and because Kratzmach is the 25th, but Lepel, the fact is, today, New Year's is not looked at as a religious holiday, and Kratzmach is looked at as a religious holiday.
Yeah,
Arabs don't deal with that, yeah. Correct. 100%.
Is there a preference between two writers? You say that you have a choice if you want one or the other, which one?
No, either way, if you want. Again, halachically, May 5th would be better than 5-5. Because at least you're not going against the concept of, according to those opinions, of which month is first, second, third, fourth. Okay, that's one answer. So one answer is, the Gemara says, what difference does it make that that Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for years, for Goyish kings to write the New Year for the documents? But the Gemara says, the boy same, I'll answer you a different answer. Rav Chista, Rav Zeira Master, Rav Chista holds a Rav Zeira. What does it mean? The Rav Zeira Amar, Rav Zeira says, what does it mean, the first of Tishrei is the New Year for years? It means the Tkufa, for the seasons. That means the solar and lunar seasons, like, you know, you have four seasons, four halachic seasons in the year. I don't mean in English here, you have fall, winter, spring, and summer. But you have Tishrei, Tevis, Nisan, and Tammuz. Because the four seasons are divided 3 months each. So Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev is one season. Tevis, Shvat, Adar, second season. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. And then the fourth season is Tammuz, Av, Elul. Okay? So the Gemara says, when you want to reckon seasons, you start from Tishrei. Why? But Rabbi Elazar, it goes according to Rabbi Elazar. The Amar, that Rabbi Elazar says, but Tishrei, Nivra, Elam. The world was created in Tishrei. And the Gemara is going to elaborate on this later. We learned in the Maimonim. That's when we learned it more. There's a big argument between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. When did everything happen? Nisan or Tishrei?
Mm-hmm.
Rabbi Yeshua says the world was created in Nisan. Rabbi Elazar says the world was created in Tishrei. So the question is, when does everything begin? When do seasons begin? Mm-hmm. When does everything begin? Does it begin in Nisan or Tishrei? So Rabbi Elazar says the world was created in Tishrei. So if the world was created in Tishrei, when do seasons begin? Seasons begin in Tishrei. So when it says, when do you start a new year? And like we write, 5762 doesn't begin in Nisan. It begins in Tishrei. Right? So this is what he says, when is the new year for years? Meaning, when do the seasons begin? When does a new year come from creation? It goes in the month of Tishrei. So the Gemara asks, no, I'm sorry. Rav Nachman, this one answer. Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, Rav Nachman by Yitzchok says, Ledin, it has to do with judgment. Meaning, when does Hashem judge us? When's Yom HaDin? So it's the very Rosh Hashanah. Because it says in the Pasuk, all the way at the bottom of the Mireish, it says, Shana v'ach Hashan, from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. Meaning, Mireish, it says, Shana, from the beginning of the year, Nidan is going to be judged, Mayei B'Sefer, what's going to be at the end of the year. It means, Mereshis Hashana V'Arach Rishana means, from the beginning of the year, Hashem is going to already judge us what's going to be at the end of the year. Like on Rosh Hashanah, like it says, our Panos is already pre-established. Everything is done in Tishrei. But the Gemara says, Mimayde Tishrei Hu? How do you know the beginning of the year means Tishrei? Maybe it's Nisan. So it doesn't say Tishrei. So the Gemara says, because it says in the Pasuk, Tikkub Achedu Shefer, you should blow Shefer and the moon's newness. Bakas Eliyem Chagenu, when the moon is covered and the day of our holiday. The Buzzi can tell me, say in Davnik. Tikkub Achedu Shefer, Bakas Eliyem Chagenu. When should you blow Shefer? Bakas Eliyem Chagenu, when the moon is hidden and the Yom Tif. Now,
when you can't see the moon because it's behind the clouds.
No, it's because of the clouds. At the first Rosh Chodesh, the moon is just being born. Right? And then it gets bigger until the 15th. Then it starts getting smaller again. Now, there's only one Yom Tif on the first day of the month, and that's Rosh Hashanah. Because every other holiday, Shavuos is on the 6th, Pesach is on the 15th, Sukkot is on the 15th, Yom Kippur is on the 10th. We're talking about holidays of from the Torah. So the only Yom Tov from the Torah, which is Rosh Chodesh, is Rosh Hashanah, which shows that you have to blow Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. He says, Eizah Chodesh, Shachodesh Meskasebei, which month is where do you have the only month that the moon is hidden? It's Rosh Hashanah. So the pasuk says as follows: Tiku b'chayde shayfar pagesel yom chageinu, blow shayfar and Rosh Hashanah. And then the next pasuk in Tehillim says, Ki chayk li Yisrael hu mishpat l'lekei Yaakov. It's the chayk for the Jews, mishpat the judgment for l'lekei Yaakov. Okay, what does it mean? When does Hashem judge us? When is the mishpat l'lekei Yaakov? When is the judgment? When you blow shayfar b'kesel yom chageinu. So you see that when's the day of judgment? Rosh Hashanah. So therefore the Gemara says that's the relevance of when Echad B'Tishrei is. So the Gemara says there's three things of what it means with Rosh Hashanah L'shanim. One is documents for the Goyish kings. One is that Tkuf is for the seasons. And the third one is for the day of judgment. When does Hashem judge us? Echad B'Tishrei. That's the Rosh Hashanah. And there's another reason that the Gemara doesn't say. When the Pasuk says, you see back, it says, Mereshis Hashanah. Reshis is spelled without an Aleph. You look back on the other page, three lines from the bottom. Oh, so the Gemara quotes it with an Aleph. If you see five lines from the bottom, the Pasuk says, Mereshis Hashanah. Bad Achrishana. No, on this page. Mereshis Hashana, Bad Achrishana. Now, if you look in Chumash, Mereshis is spelled without an Aleph. Spelled without an Aleph in the Chumash. Mm-hmm. Now, if you take away the Aleph, and you have the letters Men, Resh, Shin, Tafyu, that's Tishrei. It's Tishrei. So it says, Mereshis Hashana refers to Tishrei because in the Chumash it's spelled without an Aleph. And without an Aleph, the word is Tishrei. The same letter is Tishrei. You have that all over Chumash like that. When the tail leaves out, I'll give you another example that the Gemara Taka says about Yom Tov. It says, Eile Me'a De Hashem, Mikrei Kodesh, Asher tikru eisam b'mayadam. That you should call them, the Yom Tov, in their times. Now, eisam in Hebrew is written alevav tof mem. That's the way you normally write otam, is alevav tof mem. If you look in the Chumash and Sefer Torah, it's spelled alev tof mem. So really, the vav is only like a vowel. You know, the vav is the vowel. But the Torah does say alev tof mem, which means Asher tikru atem b'mayadam. You guys call the shots. Therefore, Beis Din has the jurisdiction to proclaim Rosh Chodesh whenever they want, and therefore making the holidays when they want. Where do we learn this out from? Because instead of Eisam with a Vav, the way we read it in the Chumash, it's spelled without the Vav, which is atem. And atem means you. That means you guys, Beis Din, proclaims the new month. So you have that throughout Chumash, and you learn out a lot of halachas like that, by the way.
But how do I...
What?
So that's it for the topic, so...
Okay. Turn it up on three lines in the top. It says, Ki chayk li Yisrohu mishpat l'lekei Yaakov. The Gemara is just continuing what we just said. The Pasuk says, it's a chayk for the Yidin, mishpat judgment l'lekei Yaakov. What does this mean? Melamed, it teaches us... It teaches us she'ein bezdin shel ma'ala nichnasin ledin, that the higher bezdin, meaning Hashem's court in the heaven, doesn't go to judge the Jews. Elam kein kitshu bezdin shel matas achedus unless the bezdin sanctified the moon, meaning ki chayk li Yisrael hu, when the Jews Yisrael make it Rosh Hashanah, then mishpat l'lekei Yaakov, then it becomes the judgment for Hashem. And therefore, the Gemara is going to say later on, the Gemara says, the Malachim come to Hashem and say, hey, when's Rosh Hashanah? Hashem says, whenever Beis Din proclaims Rosh Chodesh, that's where we're going to come. So that's what the Gemara says. Chayk li Yisrael hu, when the Jews make the law that, you know, it's the new moon, then Mishpat l'lekei Yaakov, then Hashem judges. She has the powerful power that a Jew has. They make or break it when all the holidays are. You know, whether it's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuot, I mean, whatever it is, it's dependent completely up to the Jews. Not up to Hashem. But
how many days can be in a month if they don't?
Max 30.
Oh, so if they don't see the moon, they just declare it.
If it's cloudy, they're going to do it, yeah. But even then, the moon is reborn every 29 and a half days, prox. Okay, it's not exactly 29 and a half days, but it's 29 and a half days. That's why our calendar works. You can't make Rosh Chodesh in the middle of a day. Therefore, 1 month by us is 29 days, 1 month 30, 1 month 29, 30. Okay, that's what we usually do, with a few exceptions, because it's not exactly 29 and a half. Okay? Now, if the witnesses saw the moon after 29 days, so then the 30th day became Rosh Hashanah. I mean, Rosh Chodesh. If they didn't see the moon, so Beis Din waited for after 30 days to make the new month. One second. But the problem is, if you have 5 months in a row cloudy, let's say in the winter, it'll be cloudy for 5 months in a row, and Beis Din always made it on the 30th, after the 30th day, okay, that means at the end of the 6th month, it's possible to see the moon on the 25th day. Because really it's supposed to be 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, 30, right? If Beis Din keeps making it 30 days, 30 days, 30 days, 30 days, right? So eventually the moon is going to come out on the 25th day. And the Rambam says there's no bigger joke than that. So if it got cloudy in such a way, month after month after month, Beis Din obviously did 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, 30.
Mm-hmm.
Because it couldn't just keep going at 30, because then you'd have the moon on the 20th day after 10 months. You know what I mean? It's a joke.
There is countries that there's winter, seven months.
Yeah, but see, they did it basically in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you don't have, it wasn't Russia, or the northern countries where it's cloudy the whole winter, you don't see any moon.
But how did the whole, everyone in Israel hear about...
He sent up messengers.
How did messengers go around all of Eretz Yisrael? Like,
they had a lot of horseback. Mm-hmm. The attacker went around. And wherever they got, they got. Eretz Yisrael is not that big that they shouldn't get around.
And they went to big cities.
They went to cities where Jews were, basically.
Fire.
Well, they stopped that. Nowadays, they would just send out the faxes and the emails and tell everybody, call everybody up, put in
now
a newspaper.
A lot of things you don't need now.
Yep. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tanya Idach, in another brace, it says, okay, Tanya Idach, we learned in another brace. I'm just trying to see where it is here. Okay, another verse it says, Kichekli, you saw Mishpelelke Yaakov, 3, 6 cents in the top. Another verse it says, Kichekli, so Ainli Ella Yisrael. I would know this is only a day of judgment for Yidin. Rosh Hashanah, only Jews are judged. La'umma say La Minai, and how do I know Goyim are also judged in Rosh Hashanah?
Mm-hmm.
When does Hashem judge the Goyim? We know Jews on Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, another verse says, how do I know Goyim are also judged in Rosh Hashanah? Because it says, Mishpat Lelekei Yaakov. The Mishpat judgment for the God of Yaakov. At first it says, Chaykli Yisrael who? So you see we're talking about Yisrael, Jews. Now when it says, Mishpat Lelekei Yaakov, the change of expression, shows Goyim too. Im Kein, Matam Melemer, Chaykli Yisrael, if everybody is judged, Goyim and Jews, why does the Torah say Chaykli Yisrael who? It's only a judgment for Jews. Malami,
mm-hmm.
It teaches us She Yisrael Nechnosim Tchilu Ladin. Who gets judged first?
The Eden.
The Jews get judged first, mm-hmm. But the Goyim also get judged. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Rav Chista, like Rav Chista said, the Amr Rav Chista, Melech V'Tzibur. If a king and a community need to be judged, In other words, the king is being taken to court and the community is taken to court. Who goes in first? Melech nitchnistchila ladin. First, the king goes. Because it says, Mishpat avdei o mishpat ami. First, the mishpat of his servant, then the mishpat of his nation. So therefore, the Gemara says, my time, or why? Why should the king go first? So he says, it's not right to leave a king standing outside. It's not respectful. Everybody goes in, the king should wait outside in the hallway. It's not nice. Ibai Seima, another reason is, let the king be judged before God gets angry at everybody else. It would be better for the king to get judged first. Correct. So the Gemara's conclusion, 1 second, the Gemara's conclusion is that not only are Jews judged in Rosh Hashanah, Goyim are also judged in Rosh Hashanah, but Jews go in first.